May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. She stood there laughing. I held the knife in my hand, and she laughed no more. My Delilah. You know the rest. Oh, but it's a great song, isn't it? We love Tom, particularly in the small hours after a few ales. Except it's a song about violence. It's a song about revenge. A song that uses a name that, thanks to commentaries written and sermons preached by clergy people, is a name so associated with deceit, licentiousness, danger, treachery, that we are left in no doubt as to the character and worth of Sir Tom's Delilah. We can sing, usually just the chorus, with abandon, because frankly, his Delilah, like all Delilahs before her and since, got what she deserved. To be clear, I am not here tonight to argue for unfaithfulness or unkindness, but I am here to make a humble plea for the biblical Delilah, and indeed all Delilahs, in light of Christ's question to Simon Peter from our second reading, "Who do you say that I am?" Because it seems to me that our response to that question has a direct impact on how we respond to other questions, such as, "Who do you say that you are?" Or, "Who do you say that they are?" What do we say about ourselves, not to our tutors, or to our future employers, or to our next squeeze that we're trying to impress, but rather, what do we say about ourselves to ourselves in those dark, lonely hours when the party is over? And what do we say about other people? What do we say about each other when we gossip, when we feel threatened, and when we've been hurt? The answer to all of those other questions depends, I think, on the answer to the first, how we respond to Jesus's question, "Who do you say that I am?" The God who asks that question is the very same God who was trying to have a relationship with Samson, and contrary to some very bad PR over the centuries, Delilah too. My Delilah. And yet in tonight's reading, there were just two mentions of God. The first came when Samson declared, "I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb." And the second, when the narrator told us that Samson did not know that the Lord had left him. Now, there is a lot of story that goes on before Samson notices that God is no longer in it. Samson is the one who has the calling on his life. Samson is the one who, whether self-appointed or otherwise, is some sort of leader of the people of God, who saw a harlot and went in unto her, who, with his considerable ego and overactive groin, played games and destroyed cities and people in God's name. Some might say that Samson is a terrorist. And yet, history and the first 30 commentary hits on Google place the blame for Samson's sad demise at the door of that woman, that Delilah. Well, there we are. This evening, brothers and sisters, I hear Delilah cry out, "Who do you say that I am?" And I answer like this. I say you were a woman at a time when women were the property of men. I say you were asked by those to whom you belonged to do a job they were too afraid to do, and in return for the job, you would be paid an enormous amount of money. You would be liberated to some extent, no longer bound to answer to father or husband or uncle or male cousin's friend's son. I say, as does the text which supports you, Delilah, that you, possibly resigned to the hopelessness of the quest, asked Samson the question you were told to ask. And I say, when he lied to you, you called him on it. And I say, you are tenacious and determined and brave. And whereas some would say you manipulated the truth out of Samson, I would say that you called him on his love. How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Note to the reader, it was Samson who had fallen in love, not Delilah. It was Samson who had pursued Delilah. And it was the Philistines who had sent Delilah to do the job. And there you were, Delilah, sitting between two different existences, two lives, getting a job done using the words that had been given to you. And understandably, you keep on, and you keep on, and on. My favorite quote out of all the misogynistic commentaries I've read is, "The famous weapon of a woman's tears found its victim." Would you just listen to that again? "The famous weapon of a woman's tears found its victim." Delilah, I say, along with a biblical text, that you let Samson sleep on your knees as the man shaved his head. Some say this was duplicitous. I wonder if this was maternal or some sort of kindness, presuming the fight was over, or maybe even an act of relief on your part. I really don't care. You didn't, as far as I can tell, uncover his feet to get the information. You got the information with words, straightforward tenacity, and maybe a sprinkling of cunning. Wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove, maybe with the grace of God behind you. But I say you are not a whore, not a traitor, not the reason for Samson's downfall. He was the reason for that. And I say you are not deserving of the permitted misogyny your tragic tale continues to provoke, and in some circle is even encouraged, because it is a narrative that suits parts of God's church and the world to this very day. The book of Judges is riddled with feminist joy if we would simply allow the text to speak and then think. Think about context and think about the account given, or indeed not given, of the God we know to be love. The account we give always matters. the account we give can stick to huge detriment. How we write our history books, how we comment on Twitter about our public figures, how we choose to join in with gossip and slander matters. What we say about God matters. Because if we go around saying that God is a vindictive, judgmental so-and-so, it sticks. And if we say that God hates female, gay, and trans people, it sticks. What we say about God shapes what we say about ourselves and other people. The accounts we give shape the world around us and inside of us. That is not to say that we should paint everything rosy, but rather that kindness should go hand in hand with criticism, that wisdom should be sought in the face of presumption, and silence with uncertainty. Simon Peter says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are here to deliver us all. You love us all." And Jesus says, "Yes." And upon that rock, upon that proclamation of who I am, will I build my church. So may we join with Simon Peter and declare the loving, saving God, the one who always allows us to choose our own way and promises always to be there when we return. We do not worship a tyrant. We do not worship a terrorist. We do not worship a God who sanctions violence or hatred towards anyone. We worship the God who loved both Samson